Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with us. Mayor, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Why'd you break the lights on the bridge?
Yeah, good question. There's lots of things that I never know that I do that I've been told that I do.
Your power is unsurpassed in Northwest Florida, sir.
I don't mean this facetiously. Like I take compliment in the fact of that people think that I have lots of say on lots of things, including outside the city limits. That's probably the most where
right.
I get emails about things on 9 Mile Road or 10 Mile Road, and I get it, you know. I take it kind of as a compliment that, you know, people think I'm their mayor, and in a lot of ways, you represent this community,
right?
But a misperception or two a week usually. On things like that.
So what? It's the electricity is not working properly. FDOT's investigating, and that's what we know at the moment. Is that kind of the short version?
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, interesting trivia is how many bridges are we in charge of maintenance of in the city of Pensacola, of whatever bridges are in the city? And I'm talking about even little ones, you know, over. and it's only one. The only bridge that
I would say Cervantes, the one that's broken right now. Is that the one?
No, that's it's the one that we maintain in the city of Pensacola is the 12th Avenue, the very northern tip of the bayou there, 12th Avenue.
Oh,
going
okay.
Down the hill and back up.
Okay, because 12th Avenue is not a state road, right?
Correct. Well, and it's just through the years when you've given away maintenance or say,
sure.
Hey, all right, state, you have this because you've got more resources and vice versa. We've taken roads back before, and actually the MLK and Davis thing that we talked about going to two-way there, part of that agreement would be us taking back those roads from the state. So it's kind of, you know, a little bit of a negotiation sometimes, you know, is maybe it's a state road, maybe it isn't. But yes, so if the bridge lights go out on that 12th Avenue for that, you know, bridge that's about 100 feet long, then call me.
Otherwise,
that,
call FDOT.
I'll do
right?
my best to get an answer. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, so that's kind of the answer you gave yesterday at the press conference. Of course, everybody's been asking about this for weeks, and you know, it's kind of, well, you know, we don't own it. We're not in charge of it. It'll be fixed when FDOT fixes it because it's their bridge, and everybody knows the problem. Let's talk a little bit about the red light cameras because we now have almost a month's worth of data. There are actual citations being issued now, right? I mean, people are getting actual mailed $158 now, right?
That's correct. Started February 1st, 1,477 violations through 23 days, really, because it only went through the 27th. You'll always notice when we talk about this in the future, it lags about a week behind, you know,
right.
In terms of getting the data correct. And you know, I wanted to remind folks that have the theory out there that, well, a camera saw me by 1 millimeter and the camera was wrong. We actually rejected 38 citations, you know, about 3% of the citations during that period, even though they were just warnings and there was no financial consequence, just for our guys to get practice.
Yeah,
you know,
the habit,
so
right.
We sent back 38. So, again, this is not a mechanism of anything other than, you know, taking Bayou and 9th Avenue, for example, that we had 35 people a day on average in January. While we advertised that we were doing this, we marketed that we were doing this, we've made it everybody as aware as possible, yet we still had 35 people a day blowing through that at that one intersection at 9th and Bayou.
It's
just
crazy.
It's staggering numbers.
Yeah, and the one at Gregory getting, you know, going up onto the on-ramp, 345
yep.
at that one. It's just crazy. I had this last night. Now, it's not one of your surveilled intersections, but I was at Davis and Creighton last night, and I was watching with my eyes as the oncoming two turn lanes, and because ours got the same side, I was going eastbound, the light, you know, the cross light went yellow, the light went red, the green arrows came on, and luckily, before either of the oncoming turn lane full of people could go, a car went right through the intersection in the northbound lane on the right side. And I literally thought, oh, my God, that was 5 feet from people dying in front of my eyes because people
right.
do not obey the lights.
And listen, that's the thing. What I'm trying to get rid of this misperception that anybody who gets a ticket was only over the line by one inch. And that when people who are trying to tear down this idea, that, of course, that's the most sellable way to do it, right? To say, oh, well, what do you mean? Every single person who's getting a ticket is only getting it because they were 1 millimeter over the bar. I have plenty of video that the vast majority of what we're talking about is blatant, putting people's lives in danger,
right,
is what we're talking about here, not 1 millimeter over the line. We don't want to give anybody a ticket for 1 millimeter over the line because that wasn't a safety threat. We want to do it for just the little examples that we've already shared with you. I mean, you could pull any video out of a hat you want, and the vast majority of what we're talking about is a blatant disregard for the law.
Well,
and we have to do something. And the answer before this was nothing, and that's not good enough. And so, you know, we'll see what happens as I continue to maintain. If these don't work, if these aren't successful, if I'm happy to write a check to the vendor because nobody's running red lights, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll adjust from there. But I said in my press conference yesterday, you know, on one hand, the numbers are staggering, and it's kind of discouraging, you know, to see this leveled, even when you know cameras are there. I think we also struck a chord of something that needed to be done.
I completely agree. In fact, one of the, I don't know whether this is intended or we just got lucky, but I can tell you what it's done for me. Okay. At other intersections that are not, cause I know which ones are and which ones are not, I'm acting more cautiously, even at other intersections, paying more attention to the light. But B, I am far more aware of the danger. And, you know, what people have often said in the past is, you know, I'm going to count to three before I go on a green. And I'm, you know, but I find for me is I'm much more nervous looking around before I go to make sure nothing's about to happen, because it's a heightened awareness of this problem. And regardless of what this does to change people's behavior as drivers who run red lights, I think you've probably made most drivers safer, more cautious, because we're aware of the issue. I mean, that's a win.
And listen, I think, you know, like it or not, and I know some people will always not like it, but think about the reputation of driving in Gulf Breeze, right?
It's right.
That we all grew up with, you all knew, talking about, they had light, you know, so what, forget the tickets and citations and someone getting caught. It changes the persona of the driver. And I believe, to your exact point, is there's other unintended benefits of just, we're all going to be a little more. I mean, I drive through these intersections all the time. You don't think I think about it? I'm a human being,
right,
too. Make sure, it affects all of us, from the mayor to everybody, to double check and make sure we're being safe, which I think is the entire goal here.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Mayor, I wanted to ask you about some personnel changes you've had recently. David Forte, who was your assistant city manager, and before that he was your kind of traffic guru, has left. I don't know the circumstances. I'm going to ask you about that. Clark Merritt, your port director, has also left. You've had a chance to talk with him briefly. I think maybe the sanitation director, I have heard. I don't know if that's true. You tell me if I'm wrong about this. What's going on here? Because at least when it comes to David is super capable, and Clark is super capable, and I don't know the sanitation as well, but if that's true or not. But can you tell us what's going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, as always, Andrew, I don't get into specific, personnel decisions. And at the end of the day, you know, David, Clark, we've made no change this time at sanitation. But
okay, thank you for clarifying.
You know,
I apologize.
Are both, capable guys that are going to be successful wherever they are. And, and then we move forward and figure out the best folks for us. I think at the end of the day, what we're all looking for, whether you work for the city or the city administration, is, people who care about the city to do a great job. So I wish them the best. I have nothing but, good things to share about them. And we'll move forward and, filling those positions and getting the best people to run the city. You know, I think, these are the types of things that always happen in, administrations. And so we just continue to move forward.
I have a question about the utilities lawsuit, the one that says that the city doesn't have the authority to apply the franchise fee to the customers. This goes back to the 70s or 80s, but there's a statute of limitations. And now if the city loses and it goes forward, you're going to have millions of dollars to pay out to Pensacola Energy customers. But it seems to me like the only way the city makes that money up is to take in money from Pensacola Energy customers. And so I know you probably can't get into the legal side of, what's happening, but this strikes me as the most pyrrhic of victories, that the ratepayers are going to have to pay more in order to pay out a lawsuit back to the ratepayers. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, and let me preface exactly. Like, I don't want to speak to any specific. I'll talk to the psychology question, but the specifics of the case obviously are still ongoing right now. So
of
I don't
course.
Want to get too much into that. And we're in conversations with their legal team as well. So, but what I would say is, I think would it be common sense to say that if there's an expense incurred by an enterprise, there's going to be a need to make up that expense? Yeah, I think that would be a good way to put it. And you'd have to look at the folks that are potentially, in this class and how long that they needed to be there. We're working through all of those details,
right.
But, for what little I can say, Andrew, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair line of thinking.
Okay. All right. And I mean, I might be missing something. Of course, you're on the one side of the issue, but that's how it struck me. Is I'm like, and I haven't talked to the people bringing the lawsuit or anything like that. That's just how it looked to me as somebody who doesn't pay Pensacola Energy fees. Is I'm like, okay, the one hand and the other hand, and in the end, we got nothing. it just doesn't seem like it wins anything. The welcome sign, where are we at? The Pelican.
Yeah, so we actually just had we were looking at March. It looks like we had a delay with making the sign until April. But I'm getting a photo update from our team, all the metal work for the framing. It's big.
Good.
See it in the photos, yeah. And so if you drive west, over the Three Mile Bridge and then, turning towards the Bay Center there, you can see there's a big beam that's standing out. That will be the where the sign goes. But what we wanted to do, which I thought was smart of our team, is to say, hey, we're going to build the foundation and the beam and everything, and then we're going to measure it.
Yeah.
don't go make the sign and then try to put it on a beam. So, that process, of course, takes a little longer, but we think well worth it versus, making a sign the wrong size.
You didn't want to wind up with a lollipop on an actual drumstick and it'd be all disproportionate and weird. Like, that wouldn't be good. Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. So we couldn't, common sense would tell you you could do those concurrently. We chose not to out of the safety and the taxpayers' responsibility of making sure the first time is the only time we have to do this. But we're looking at April and we'll have an event down there. But it's looking great. The early photos are looking great. Very excited.
Who's the company? Is it a local company, I hope, learning the lessons of the sailfish sign?
I would have to check that, honestly.
Okay.
I know who's been doing the beam, but my head hasn't moved to the manufacturer yet.
Okay. All right. Because I think we learned a really, really painful lesson with the sailfish sign and not contracting with people from elsewhere in the state. So, I would hope that that's the case. We don't have time to get into the details, but I just wanted to highlight it for people who weren't paying attention to the press conference. The other side of the approach into Pensacola is the Chappie James Monument area. And you said yesterday, I think quite succinctly, the legal stuff is no big deal, but somebody's got to decide who's going to pay the remainder of the money. And if nobody's going to pay for it, why bother? And if the county and, the Tourism Development Commission can't figure this out, which is what they need to figure out, then we'll move ahead. Otherwise not. Is that a fair, because we all want it to happen, but...
That's absolutely right. The one sentence version of this is we're happy to make whatever minor changes were requested by the AG and this opinion and all of this thing that's made it really convoluted. We'll make whatever changes that it takes. But can we get a straw vote? Can we get something? Before we go send our attorneys in to go chase ghosts, with changes, why can't we just get someone to say that if these changes are made, it's going to be funded?
Right.
Because if not, what are we doing? Because our agreement's already valid. So. I'm kind of pleading with our partners to
there's a lot of speculation about
they're going to do something.
Yeah. And there's a lot of speculation about, personal politics and that this is all being slow walked for a reason. And I understand your press for make a commitment so we can get something done. Cause I actually agree with that. We always like to end with some fun, quick questions. First question, a super easy question for you. Do you, Mayor DC Reeves, ever jaywalk?
Yes, I've been known to. I try not to, and I do it in other cities. Not in our city limits. So I don't bog down the police enforcement. But I may have jaywalked a time or two.
Fair enough. We both, John and I, jaywalk too, at least occasionally. When you're at a store and you check out, do you look at the receipt before you leave the store?
I don't know. You're making me feel fiscally irresponsible. I don't know that I do, but. I think if the number's off for me, if it doesn't, I'm doing some rough math in my head while I'm shopping.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. you check it. If
it comes back wild,
you think it should be 50, but it's actually 65, then you'll look. But otherwise, if it's in the ballpark,
exactly.
You leave well enough alone.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And this is the most important question I'm going to ask you all day. You ready? You prepared?
Yes, I'm ready.
Snowmageddon or Snowpocalypse?
I'm going to – I go –
Choose wisely. Choose wisely.
I said Snowmageddon. I don't know. I think it rolls – it's easier to say and – You don't like that?
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee-owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet. Kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on...
Chris Foster, a celebration on the streets of Philadelphia. The Eagles win the Super Bowl, beating the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22 on Fox.
For the second time, the Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
The Eagles were up 34-0 in the third quarter. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, named game MVP. The Chiefs were denied three titles in a row. On his way to the game on Air Force One, President Trump says he's announcing new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports.
Any steel coming into the United States is going to have a 25% tariff.
What about aluminum, sir?
Aluminum, too.
10%?
No, 25%.
25% for aluminum as well.
25% for both.
New tariffs on American imports in China, meantime, take effect today. Retaliation for new Trump administration tariffs on Chinese imports that kicked in last week. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 68 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Well, Escambia County's lost another offer on the OLF 8 property. Beulah Town Center LLC withdrew their $45 million offer late last week, the third developer to back out of negotiations.
There was a complete reverse in their position from the morning to the evening. Quite frankly, we didn't like it. And we don't think we want to be part of that type of, you know, public negotiation.
And that is Fred Hemmer with Beulah Town Center. The company's decision came after Escambia commissioners had reversed a prior decision to exclusively negotiate with them on the deal. That happened back in January with a 30-day deadline to get a contract. Escambia County officials say they're looking into parking solutions at Pensacola Beach. Channel 3 reporting the county's put out RFPs for parking solutions to address traffic impact. District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger says they're looking at the possibility of parking garages and the most efficient way of getting people to and from the beach. And, well, as a lot of people were getting ready for their Super Bowl parties, there were volunteers preparing the Super Bowl of Caring to fight hunger in Northwest Florida. Volunteers spent quite a bit of Friday and Saturday collecting food for Manna food pantries, and the organization says they collected enough donations to provide 35,000 meals for the hungry here in our area. Well, there were some players with Florida ties yesterday in the big game. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22 in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. The Eagles had 9 players that were either from Florida or played college ball in the state. That includes former Florida State Seminole Josh Sweat. The defensive end had a game 2.5 sacks in last night's win. President Trump defending the efforts of Elon Musk in the Department of Government Efficiency. He did an interview with Fox News Sunday, just before the game. Trump said the government bodies like the U.S. Agency for International Development are rife with waste, fraud, and abuse.
Well, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of money that's going to places where it shouldn't be going, where if I read a list, you'd say this is ridiculous, and you've read the same lists, and there are many that you haven't even seen. It's crazy.
And Trump went on to say that he trusts Elon Musk as the head of Doge and says he's been happy with the job he's done so far. He's planning to instruct Musk to go after the Department of Education and the military next. It's 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a touch of some fog on coastal areas this morning. That should fade away as we go into the afternoon. High today near 72 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. Going into Tuesday, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms. High near 71. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have 68 degrees in Pensacola. It is 67 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 66 in Milton right now. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and now taking a look at our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. McDonald's is expected to report another quarter of same-store sales declines. Traffic to the fast food giant's U.S. restaurants fell after the CDC linked its Quarter Pounder burgers to an E. coli outbreak. Shares of McDonald's have climbed just 2% over the past year, raising its market cap to about $211 billion. Trump told reporters that he's planning to announce a blanket 25% tariff on all steel and aluminum imports. Trump did not specify when the tariffs would be imposed and noted that he would also issue retaliatory tariffs on countries that tax U.S. imports. Japan's Nippon Steel has declined to comment on President Trump saying that no one can have a majority stake in acquisition target U.S. Steel. Trump said Nippon Steel's $14.9 billion bid for U.S. Steel would take the form of an investment instead of a purchase. Shares in Nippon Steel fell more than 2% upon the news. Futures are moderately high.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know, if you've been listening to my show long enough, you've heard me talking about Pensacola Hardware, one of the oldest, 50 oldest companies in the entire United States, the oldest company in the state of Florida, founded before the Civil War, before there were Levi's, like a long time ago, 174 years ago, long. But what you may not hear me talk about a lot is all the different ways in which Pensacola Hardware serves this community. Like, just an example, okay? UWF's Department of Archaeology actually has a whole bunch of supplies that you get at Pensacola Hardware because they work in conjunction with them for things like their gloves that they need or their excavating tools. And, of course, they have all of the hardware stuff that you could possibly imagine. Aaron pneumatic tools, fasteners, drill bits, diamond products, decorative concrete compressors. I mean, honestly, they have things that I could read to you are on their inventory list that I have no idea how to use because it's not my area of expertise, but it's theirs. They have been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for an awfully long time. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Tell you what, here this early in the morning, let's go ahead and just give away a pair of tickets. We've got Pensacon tickets that comes up this weekend, February 14th through the 16th, and it'll be a will call pickup, so you'll pick it up at the will call over at the Bay Center, and if you'd like that pair of tickets, just text in. We'll do a text. Oh, you want to do a call? All right, we'll do a call. So, all right, be the second caller. You're going to make it fast. All right, be the second caller, and you can get the pair of tickets to Pensacon coming up this weekend. The number, 850-437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. Be the second caller, and you get a pair of tickets to go see Pensacon this weekend. So, Super Bowl was one of the probably worst Super Bowls I've ever seen. Just, I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, greatest Super Bowl ever, right? But for everybody else who's just kind of a random, like, hey, you know, I just want to watch the Super Bowl. I just want a close game. It wasn't a close game. It reminded me, I was trying to think of like blowout Super Bowls. And the one that came to my mind was Washington against the Bills. That was one that was just super disappointing and just like, you know, no, forget this one. But there was actually a bigger blowout, the 49ers against the the Denver Broncos. That was 55-10 for that score, 55-10. So that was an even bigger blowout than this one. It was just like, but you know what? I just don't even remember Denver playing, even though Denver only scored 10 points. I don't remember it being as bad as, I mean, Kansas City played horrible. In fact, I would say
the MVP of the game to me was the Eagles defense. It was just tremendous. It was just absolutely tremendous. So that I thought the pregame and the halftime were meh. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Kendrick Lamar fan anyway, but that doesn't matter to me. I just wanted a good show. And I think it was okay. It was just kind of meh. It wasn't standout. It wasn't memorable to me. The pregame stuff, like the playing the national anthem, things like this, they had this kind of a New Orleans Mardi Gras theme that they've done that they did to all the songs, and it just didn't hit right for me. It was just kind of like, yeah, okay. So that's just a little bit on the Super Bowl. Got some more about that. Oh, Andrew McKay is not here today. He's one of 22.5 million Americans who didn't plan to come to work the day after the Super Bowl. And now Andrew had this vacation planned for a while, but 22.5 million other Americans planned to miss work. We'll talk about that a little bit here in about 10 minutes. So President Trump has ordered the Consumer Protection Agency to close. This is the latest from the Trump administration. The Consumer Protection Agency began in 2008 after the 2008 financial crisis. The newly installed director, Russell Vaught, of the Office Management and Budget, directed them in a Saturday night email to stop work on proposed rules, suspend effective dates on any rules that were finalized and not yet effective, and to stop investigative work and not begin on any new investigations. This is, the email also ordered the Bureau to cease all supervision and examination activity. Then it was confirmed that the headquarters of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau would be closed this whole week. No reason given for the closure just yet. But this does look like it might be, they're closing the building at least for this week, and they've definitely been told to stop any kind of work. And this is just part of the ongoing cuts and evaluations on wasted government spending. Now, one thing I think it's interesting, I'm seeing a lot of people knee-jerk reaction and kick and scream and upset that things like the Consumer Protection Bureau, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau are closing. I'm seeing them kick and scream and being all upset because he may go after the Department of Education. I'm seeing them complain about just other organizations like that, right? However, there was some rulemaking by OSHA. That was another thing. Rulemaking by OSHA that was also done. So the thing that kind of makes me laugh about this, though, is one of the big arguments that people are having that are
hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a women's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Andrew McKay, he's out once again this week, and I was just talking about people complaining about Doge and Elon Musk and how Elon Musk was not confirmed by the Senate to run Doge, and Doge is not constitutionally approved, and I just think it's hilarious being that they're using these arguments when the Department of Government and Efficiency is mostly suggesting closure of other departments and organizations that were not constitutionally approved, whose heads were not approved by the who've not had Senate confirmation hearings and things like that. I'm like, do they not see the hypocrisy of this? We can't believe Doge is suggesting to close the Department of Education. We can't believe Doge is suggesting to close this and that and that and this. And we can't believe Elon Musk didn't have a Senate confirmation. All these other areas don't have Senate confirmation hearings for the people that lead in these. Like even the EPA, where is it in the Constitution where it's been approved? Where is there a bill that's been created that allows the EPA? It's all under the executive branch is what's happening. And so I think it's just to me, Doge, in and of itself, the Department of Government Efficiency, is the epitome of hypocrisy when it comes to government federal organizations and oversight. The whole thing just kind of cracks me up. Air traffic controllers. So part of Doge is that they're saying, "Hey, we got to deal something with the air traffic control problem." The FAA has been saying for quite some time that we actually are way short on the number of air traffic controllers that are needed in many airports around the country. I remember when I was in probably junior high, I was trying to look at, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I remember looking at a book and seeing what jobs paid very well with the least amount of schooling. And somehow I ended up in radio, which is not... it's not on that list, but one of them was air traffic controller. And so I looked into it, and they do get paid very well. At least they don't have tons of schooling, but high stress levels. In fact, most air traffic controllers don't last that long because they just can't take the stress. It did make me wonder this, though. In today's day and age with AI and with all these computer technology and everything like this, we keep hearing that the air traffic controller's software is way outdated. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a problem in and of itself. Let's get that sucker updated. But then two is, aren't we at a level where of all things, maybe that would be one where you could use a little bit more, maybe not necessarily AI, but some sort of intelligence or something like that in order to reduce the need for as many staff and reduce the amount of stress that's on air traffic controllers. I don't know. I'm just saying it just seems like that's an area where I'm surprised we don't have the technology to reduce the stress and the workload on him up to that point. Speaking of stress and workload, I don't know if I have time for this, but I do want to try to talk about firefighters here in Pensacola. Plus another update when it comes to the Super Bowl coming up here next. I do want to talk about firefighters here in the Pensacola area. They're wanting a pay raise. We'll talk about that next right here on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Oh, there's no spots. We're going to keep on talking then. Sweet. Going back to the fire department. So the fire department, the Escambia County Union, Firefighters Union, is pushing for a better starting salary than $13 an hour. As of September, $13 an hour became the minimum wage in the state of Florida. This coming September, it jumps up to $14 an hour. And then the year after that, it finally jumps up to $15 an hour, and that's where it will remain. Looking at minimum wage, so basically to become a firefighter in Escambia County, starting pay is minimum wage for the state of Florida right now. And I know a lot of people think $13 an hour is pretty good. Yeah, but it's minimum wage in the state, though. There are five states that do not have a state minimum wage. Alabama, our neighbor, being one of them. Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee. So all the southern states. If they do not have a state minimum wage, then they default to the federal minimum wage. I had to look it up. I didn't even know what the federal minimum wage was anymore. Do you know what it is, John?
No, I don't.
Do you want to make a guess?
$12.
$7.25.
You're kidding.
$7.25. Is the federal minimum wage still. And Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee do not have a state minimum wage. Therefore, they default to the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour.
Wow.
I mean,
that just blows me away.
I don't even know if you could buy a hamburger for that.
You can't. Like
you can work for a whole hour. You can work for a whole hour, and when you get done, you can't buy food.
Yeah, not even off the dollar menu.
You can't even go to, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't even go like, wow. That was a little bit of a surprise to see that. I did see this other study from, MIT. I mean, very well-known, you know, institution, right? Institution of Higher Learning. They created a living wage calculator for pretty much every state. And this was updated as of February of last year. And so for the state of Florida, according to them, and based on typical expenses in the state and things like that, the living wage needed for two adults with one of them working and having two children, right? Two children, two adults, one adult's working. You need to make $36.52 an hour in order to make a living wage. If you're making $12.41, then that's considered poverty wage. So 20 cents lower than minimum wage, you're at poverty level.
Wow.
And then if you have both adults working and with two children, you'd still need $25 an hour each in order to have a living wage. And so I just thought that was kind of an interesting little cut. And that was updated as of February 2024. Inflation has gone up just a little bit more since then. So that's probably increased just a little bit as well. Back to the Super Bowl. You're listening to Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and Bobby Rossi. You're right. Right now, you can't even buy eggs at $7.25.
Oh, I know. I was shocked when I went to the grocery store the other day.
I went to the grocery store and they were gone.
They were gone.
There was none. I went on the show because I thought, I'm going to pay a little bit, but still. It's still, I'm going to get some eggs. They were gone. There was nothing left on the shelf. So it was later in the day. I'm like, I guess I got to come back and get some more stuff or something. Here's another text. Minimum wage makes everything cost more. You know, that's actually something interesting. I was reading a report today that Trump's new administration is already struggling with inflation and how to tackle inflation. Obviously, the Biden administration wasn't really able to do anything about it. And so Trump administration, we're going to come here and do something about it. And they're already struggling with it. And one thing that made me wonder was how much minimum wage is affecting the inflation, for example, because that's making things cost more. So, yeah, I'm glad you sent that text in. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Andrew is off today. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. It's 67 degrees here in the Pensacola area, and it's going to be a high of about there. Maybe got up to 70 today, and that's about it. It's going to be kind of a mild day today, kind of cloudy and mild. So back to the boring Super Bowl, unless you're an Eagles fan. 22.5 million Americans planned to miss work today, including one Andrew McKay. And I would say, so I've often stated, today is a great example of why the Super Bowl needs to be on Saturday. Like, just make the sucker Saturday. Why do we have to have it on Sunday? Make it Saturday, because nobody, 22.5 million Americans aren't coming to work today. They plan to not come to work. Why? Because they planned on being at a Super Bowl party last night. If you're on the East Coast, it doesn't end until super late. And then you might want to watch the festivities afterwards and things like that. And you've had a little bit of, you know, libations. And so you don't want to come into work the next day. And so people are planning this. Super Bowl needs to, I think Super Bowl needs to be just a holiday in and of itself. But even if it is a holiday, it needs to be moved to Saturday, because people don't want to come to work the next day. I had to go to bed because I'm filling in for Andrew this morning. I got to get up super early. So I'm like, shoot, I got to go to bed as soon as the game's over. Actually, since it was a blowout, I was like, in the fourth quarter, I was like, I'm getting ready for bed. I mean, you don't need to watch the rest of this. But if it was a close game, you know, what if the sucker went into overtime? I got to stay up, you know? So I've just been taking naps in the commercial breaks or something. So, yeah, it's just 22.5 million Americans struggling with inflation. It's been 20 days. I don't know, man. I just read the article. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay. You're listening to News Radio 93, informative, local. That's right.